Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning we continue our discussion, as it were, of Job. And this morning's show is entitled, Job's Suffering Defy the Philosophic Presuppositions of His Friend. It is fascinating that in the book of Job, we are indeed told that when his grief friend heard about this reversal of fortune, that they three met together and set out together to go to meet Job. There is a very important word that I want to share with you in Job chapter 2. And this is one of the Hebrew words for evil. And you will see it in verse 10. And I'm going to read it for you. This is after his wife has spoken to him, she said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish person. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" Job has an extraordinary balance in his life. And we see from the passage that in the midst of his trouble, Job has not lost sight of who God is in his life. We are brought to the understanding that Job did not place everything in his life upon material value. Job understood the ephemeral and temporal nature of material goods. Alan Watts said a long time ago that the Westerner does not love matter so much or material so much as he loves measurements, or that which material substances or goods does for him. And so we see that he was, that is, Alan Watts was pointing out the mental assent we give to the fact that, in the West, there is this predisposition toward valuing that which is material above all else. Job, on the other hand, does not. He knows that God has blessed him with wealth, but his wealth is his spiritual life. And God has blessed him with riches. His riches are his spiritual life. God has also blessed Job with material prosperity. There is no tension in these things with Job. Job understands that the source of his blessing is God. And so therefore, he lived a godly life with great wealth. That says Joe's exquisite balance and understanding that his spiritual life is prior, or his spiritual life, the content of his spiritual life, takes precedence over that which is material, has provided the profound balance in his life. And so we see that when these things were taken away from him, when these things were swept away from his life, Job's life still maintained extraordinary balance. It is this that I wish to bring out on Pneumaticos, how the spiritual life is prior. It is necessary. The spiritual life is intrinsic to who we are as beings. Long ago, Albert Einstein, through his mass energy equation, showed that mass could be changed, or that which is immaterial could be changed to that which is material. And so he brought us to the awareness of the fact that the universe is indeed spiritual. And Heisenberg's great equation, in which he talks about how we cannot know the position or the velocity of the electron at the same time, also shared some vast information for us about the material, or what we call the material universe. In an old book on graduate physics, when the book described the origin of matter at the subatomic level, the book just talked about pre-identity or pre-existence. Because the book started out with a metaphysical understanding of matter, because it realizes that matter arose from emptiness or void. And so, hence the importance of understanding the spiritual life. Job understands this. This is the profound message in this book, that we are allowed to see that in spite of what has happened to him, Job is still vitally connected to God. But one might say, well, why is God testing him in this manner? What is it that God is showing about himself and allowing these awful things to befall Job? Well, that is why we are studying this book. And we're taking a very deep interest and look at the book of Job. I want to tell you at this point that Job's friends are not part of that. That is, they were not. They did not have access to the throne room of God, and so the insight that they bring to Job's situation is very limited. Now, it doesn't mean that they will not say profound things, because his friends do say some very profound things. They do bring some very profound insight and some very interesting viewpoints. But then, as they try to convince Job through their attacks that he most certainly has done something wrong. And this is their objective, to prove to Job that something has gone wrong in his life. And Job is in denial, either conscious denial or Job is naive as to what he has done. But it is the wrongdoing that to which they want Job to own up. They want Job to confess that he has most certainly practiced that which is contrary to the will of God in order for his life to become so devastated. And so we will understand and we will see the direction, directions of their mind. How else to explain the catastrophe that has befallen Job, other than he has somehow walked outside of the established order? But let me share with you in Job chapter 2, verse 10. He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And in all this, Job did not sin in what he said." So when we look at Job's physical condition and how terrible it is, one of the Hebrew words that was here that refers to evil is the word ra. Ra, it is transliterated evil. Ra, the Hebrew word that is binds together in one the wicked deed and its consequences. Ra represents a breach of harmony and the breaking up of what is good and desirable in man and society. Ra binds together in one the wicked deed and its consequences, a breach of harmony and the breaking up of what is good and desirable in man and society. And so that word is a very compelling Hebrew word. What is also very interesting in that there are other Hebrew words which in their suffix also carries not only the deed but its consequences, whether for good or evil. So it is interesting that in Hebrew cosmology, again, we are dealing with a concrete cosmology in which every action has a predecided result. So this is very different for the Western mind, which believes that it can hide from the consequences of certain actions, or that because he or she has wealth, fame, prosperity, beauty, one is somehow exempted from the consequences of one's actions. This word also takes up raw, that is, mental attitude set. That is, one can hold on to anger, bitterness, resentment, a word that means to rehearse. That is the root word of resentment, to rehearse. That all these negative attitudes and beliefs do not have consequences. But we know today through psychoneuroimmunology, the result of having negative thoughts, negative beliefs, or even negative action. The body tells a story, or the body tells the story of a lot of times of what has been going on in an individual's life. So hence the unitary nature of the biblical view of persons. Persons do not have a body. However, we are body spirit. We are body soul. And so it is very important that we understand this Hebrew word, raw. The word binds together in one, the deed and its consequences. This is incredible. And it serves to broaden our awareness of the Old Testament and Old Testament theology and the great message that we have in the book of Job. But even though Job's friends are operating with an MLU of Ra, Job's suffering cannot be explained in this manner. Something else has gone on. Something else has happened. But they believe that Job is reaping what he has sown. Paul says in his letter to the churches at Galatia, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so the word picture is very vivid there. Do not turn up your nose as if, because God is not mocked. The cosmos remains intact. Theistic cosmology remains unchanged. But the individual who sins will most certainly reap the consequences of his action. The individual who sows good shall also reap the consequences of his actions. Job's three friends will bring extraordinary pressure upon him to confess something that he has never done, or to confess something that is not at all going on within his life. They will bring extraordinary pressure to bear upon him to confess the evil that he has done. Job knows in his heart that he has not practiced evil, but they insist that he is. Once again, his friends' names are Eliphaz, that is, my God is gold. Bildad, whose name means confusing or mingling love. Then Zophar, sparrow, or impudent. The word impudent means not showing due respect for another. It also means impertinent and brazen. In chapter 3, Job speaks, and I'm going to read from verse 24. Job states, for sighing comes to me instead of food. My groans pour out like water. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace. No shalom, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. So Job is feeding on his Greek. A very vivid picture is given to us. He is feeding off his grief. Some of feed on tears. We read this in Psalm 42:3. And others feed on their sin. Job 20, verses 12 through 19. But Job is here feeding on his grief. And then in chapter 4, Eliphaz the Temanite replied to Job's words in this manner. And it is extraordinary because immediately he is very poignant, and Job is put on trial. Chapter 4, verse 2. If someone ventures a word with you, will you be impatient? Notice the excessive use of the pronoun you or your. But who can keep from speaking? Think how you have instructed many, how you have strengthened feeble hands. Your words have supported those who stumble. You have strengthened faltering knees. But now trouble comes to you, and you are discouraged. It strikes you, and you are dismayed. Should not your piety be your confidence, and your blameless ways your hope? Now I want you to see the attack. Job is suffering. Job has experienced catastrophic loss. Job is in the midst of trauma. And these are the words of a friend. Again, I remind you of what Paul Tillich wrote. There is something in the misfortune of our closest friend that does not displease us. Eliphaz is on the attack. Verse 7. Consider now. This is verse 7 of chapter 4. Who, being innocent, has ever perished? Where will the upright ever destroy? As I have observed, notice this verse. As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble, that is Ra in Hebrew, reap it. Now, this verse, that is verse 8, is very important for us to understand. As I have observed, that is from his viewpoint, from his school, from his orientation, from his theoretical framework. And as I have observed, places his subjective approach to that of he has elevated his subjective insight into a universal. And so he is using his subjective viewpoint to speak about what is going on in Job's life. As I have observed, has anyone ever attacked you in that manner? As I have observed, as I have observed. Now, in the Gospels, I have never read in either of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that Jesus, the Jesus, used these words. And as I have observed, those who plow evil. Now, notice the language, those who plow evil. Notice the language and what it is meant to create and meant to bring up and meant to suggest to the mind. As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow law reap it. Just a moment ago, I quoted Paul who said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." But look at the way in which Eliphaz is using that same reality, that same insight. Look at the way it is employed. Look at verse 6 once again. Should not your piety be your confidence? And your blameless ways your hope? What do you think? Verse 9. At the breath of God, they are destroyed, and at the blast of his anger, they perish. He is talking about judgment. And most certainly, embedded within the language of Eliphaz is judgment. And judgment means to pass sentence on another. We are never given the power to judge others in the Word of God. We're never given the power to pass sentence on another, and so punishment. And so to execute the character of an individual. We're never given that power. My Bible reads, God is not mocked, but sore a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But I want you to see what is going on with Eliphaz, whose name means my God is old, and the words he is using toward his friend, and I say toward his friend purposely. I want you to see the attitude of Eliphaz toward Job and his misfortune. He is looking at the need of Job. He has merely listened to, he has heard Job's words. And we will see in when his friends speak, they heard his words. That is, they heard the words of Job, but did not listen. There are people today who need you not merely to hear you and I, not merely to hear their words, but to listen to their heart. You need to do this because the need is great. You need to learn to listen beyond the words, but to listen to the heart and what is going on in the heart. But it takes great patience to learn and to listen and great training, because listening is a skill. The skillful listener will learn a great deal about an individual if he or she has been trained, understanding that listening is not done with the ears, but listening is a complete somatic investment. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I'll speak with you next time on the Matter Talk.